That in the Beatitudes, blessed is the man that blessed are the meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that word makarios means supremely blessed. Now I know I've been through temptations and testings and all that, and Brother Tim, I could tell you this, I don't usually feel supremely blessed when I'm going through trials and testings. But God is teaching us some spiritual discipline here. Now remember, we've said over and over about James. James gives it to us straight. Amen. And he says, here, you may not think it, but it is a blessing to go through testings and trials. So we talked about the blessing of temptation, meaning supremely blessed. Then, second bullet point there, we looked at the enduring of temptation. The word enduring of temptation. And we talked about last week how that word means to bear up under. Amen. And the blessing is achieved through enduring the testings. You do not get the blessings for quitting. I remember literally, I say this tongue in cheek, but not. I think, Brother Phelps, I think every third message I heard in Bible college was don't quit. Don't quit. We had chapel every day, and it was don't quit. Don't. It seemed like every preacher hit that. Don't quit. Don't quit. Because you know what, folks? There's a lot of quitting places in the Christian life. And let me just tell you this, there's even more in the pastorate. There's a lot of quitting places. And God tells us here, blessed is the man who that endureth temptations, that makes it through, amen, that bears up and trusts God, amen, and endures the testing. So we have the blessing of temptation, we have the enduring of temptation. In verse number 12, in the middle part of the verse there, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried. Number one tonight, Roman numeral number one, the ending of temptation. The ending of temptation. While going through a deep and dark testing, many of us have said in our hearts, if not with our mouths, this feels like it will never end. And listen, don't you be mad at somebody who says that. Amen? Don't think yourself so spiritual that you're beyond that. Listen, when you're going through testings and just fiery trials, it's just difficult to know what the Lord is doing. And it feels like it will never end. But hallelujah, the phrase here, when he is tried. When he is tried. Teaches us that trials and testings do come to an end. They end. They may not seem like they're going to end. I don't see any way out of this. This trial, this testing that I'm going through. But I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, all trials and testings do end. And listen, folks. If only at the rapture. They're all gone then. They're all gone at the rapture of the church. When God calls us home, every testing and trial is gone. We have here on our notes here. When we endure the testings and we allow God to conform us into His image. And we have the cross reference here. I want you to go there to that cross reference over to Romans chapter 8. Go over to Romans chapter 8 if you mark your Bibles. This is a great couple of verses to mark here. When we endure the testings, and I don't talk about just enduring, just saying, Lord, just get me through this, but asking God, Lord, help me and shape me and teach me and help me to learn from this trial. Help me to trust you more. Help me in this. When we do that, we allow God to conform us into His image. Look at Romans chapter 8, and I really want to start with verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What a precious promise. The Holy Spirit of God helps us. He helps us. Amen. You could say amen tonight. Amen. If he's helped you, and I know he has, he helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That point when you're so deep in the trials and the testings, and you say, Lord, I don't even know how to pray. He helps you. He brings those requests up. And then I love, obviously, verse 28, and we know. Don't have to guess, don't have to hope, don't have to maybe. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. And He didn't predestinate us to be saved or lost. If you read this verse, it said He predestinated us to be conformed into the image of His Son. Trials and testings do that. They do that. But you know what? If you read the rest here, he allows us to conform into His image. We are blessed. We are blessed. When we endure the testings, allow God to conform us into His image, we are blessed. But God here encourages us that there is an end to the trials. Go over to the book of Job. Job chapter number 23. Talking to a dear brother yesterday, and he said, we were talking about the book of Job, just about how much Job went through. And I wouldn't wish Job's trials on anybody. But he says here in verse 10, here as he's going through, he lost everything. He literally lost everything. And he says in verse 10, but He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know what it says? The trial ends. And when the trial's over and I've endured the trial and been blessed, I come forth as gold. I come forth as gold. Oh, we're not perfect. And all God's people said, but trials help us. They make us better. We see the blessing of temptation, the enduring of temptation, the ending of temptation. Then Roman numeral number 2, we have the rewarding of temptation. The rewarding of temptation. Back in the book of James, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. God has not only promised an end to temptations, but also a reward for the blessed man who endures them. God has not only promised an end to temptations, testings, trials, storms, whatever you want to call them, but also a reward for the blessed man who endures them. It is called the crown of life. It is called the crown of life. That word crown there is the word, Greek word Stephanos. It had to do with a prize in public games, a symbol of honor. If a contestant had won his event and competed lawfully, and he came before that bema seat, as we know it, that judgment seat, which was not a judgment for punishment, but rather a judgment for reward, and he was crowned the victor, he received that crown, that Stephanos. The New Testament mentions 5 crowns that Christians can win. Let's look at them tonight. Go, first of all, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and many of you may be familiar with these crowns. Some of you may be new Christians. You don't know, hey, I didn't know God would give crowns. He certainly does. And we say this, there may be more crowns that we could win. Amen? Who knows? Amen? He listed these 5. Amen? And so we'll look at these. We've looked at one of them already, and that's the 4th one, the crown of life. the crown of life. And we'll look at the other cross reference there in Revelation. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain." Many of you know the football coach, Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi used to say, "Run to win." Run to win. He got it right out of this phrase here. And so verse 25 says, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." And Paul is giving the illustration here of an Olympic athlete that's he's temperate in all things. He's careful with what he eats, and he's careful with how he sleeps, and he's careful with his exercise. And it says, "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So the first crown is a crown of incorruption. And that is, of course, for self-control in the Christian life. Listen, that's not easy, folks. We've got flesh hanging off us, amen? And the flesh still wants to do what it wants to do. But God says, if you keep under your body, and you the Spirit tells the body what to do, and the body yields to the Spirit, amen, you get that crown of incorruption. Secondly, go over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. This great church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." So he's addressing these Philippian believers as his crown. Go over to, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. You've got Philippians, then Colossians, then 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 2, verses 19 and 20. Verses 19 and 20 of 1 Thessalonians, it says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory, or ye are our glory and joy." The second crown is the crown of rejoicing, and that is the soul winner's crown. If you've ever had the privilege to lead a soul to Jesus Christ, whether it was on a bus, whether it was at a door, whether it was on your couch, whether it was at a vacation Bible school program, you have had the greatest privilege that you could ever have. Amen. And the Bible promises a crown of rejoicing to those that win souls, amen, that teach sinners the error of their ways and lead them to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Number three, over in 2 Timothy, keep going right there. You've got 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, then you've got 1 Timothy, and then 2 Timothy. In verse number 6 of chapter 4, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered." Here's Paul as he's getting ready to go before the Roman executioner. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Hey, if you're living with the second coming in view, and you are living your life in such a way that you're keeping short sin accounts with God, you're trying to stay right with God, you're doing your best to live peaceably with all men, you're trying to win souls, trying to read this book every day, trying to live by the Bible, and the Bible says there's a crown waiting for you, because you know what? If you're doing all those things, you're looking forward to his coming. If you're like that slovenly servant in Matthew 24 that says, "My Lord delayeth his coming, and I can just live any way I want," and the Lord comes, you'll be ashamed. You'll not get that crown. Amen? That's an easy crown, amen? Just loving the Lord's return, just trying to live in such a way. And I know it's cliche, but someone has said, hey, try to live as if the Lord died this morning, rose this afternoon, and is coming back this evening, and you'll live a successful Christian life, amen? To know that you could meet Him at any moment, amen? The crown of righteousness. We talked about the crown of life, and there's a good cross-reference there in Revelation. And then the last crown, number five, is the crown of glory. The crown of glory in 1 Peter chapter 5. That's the shepherd's crown. That's for those that shepherd other people. Amen. And it says there in 1 Peter 5, 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And in the previous verses, he talks about what it is to be a shepherd and how you're to feed the church of God and you're to take the oversight and not of constraint, not because you have to, but because you believe God wants you to, and to be of a ready mind, and you don't do it just for money, amen. That's what a hireling is. You do it because the Lord has called you, and God's called you to minister to a people. And boy, praise the Lord for these crowns. Again, there may be more. There may be more, but blessed is the man that endureth temptation. There's the blessing of temptation, the enduring of temptation, the ending of temptation, and the rewarding of temptation. Father, thank You for Your love for us. Lord, thank You, Lord, that You do bless us. I don't know how people make it through trials without You. I just don't know how they do it. But Lord, You told us if we'll trust in You, and God, that You will bless us if we'll endure through the trials and come to You and, Lord, seek Your face and, Lord, learn from these things. Lord, I pray that You'd bless. Lord, perhaps there are some, even in this room, that are going through severe trials. Perhaps at work, nobody knows. Maybe it's a difficulty in their marriage, or Lord, perhaps a loved one. We think of Brother Horsch going through just a difficult trial. We think of